Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we are putting out two podcasts. In addition to this one, we have a conversation with Congresswoman Katie Porter. But on this podcast, a conversation with Peter Hamby of Puck News and the Powers That Be podcast, one of my favorites, and also Snapchat and the Good Luck America show. Peter's really smart, worked for CNN for years, covered Iowa for years. This year is chosen to be in L.A. and not in Iowa because he thinks the story in Iowa is not that big. We talked about Donald Trump's dominance. We talk about Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, where they're at, where Joe Biden is at. We also talk about what's happening here in California with the Senate race with Governor Newsom. So it's a really interesting conversation. I love listening to Peter. Learn from him every time I talk to him. Here is Peter Hamby. Peter Hamby, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Great to see you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. So you have been to Iowa so many times. You traveled to Iowa not that long ago for a reporting trip. What do you make on what's happening on the ground there right now?
I have been to four straight Iowa caucuses. This is the first time I'm not going. And the reason I mentioned that, the reason I'm here with you, is the press is hyper-fixated on the drama of the Iowa caucuses and the Republican primary generally, focusing on the fight for second place between Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. Step back. Donald Trump is winning by anywhere from 30 to 40 points. The Des Moines Register is going to drop their vaunted polls like sometime this weekend. Maybe it's already dropped by the time people are seeing this. It's just not an exciting race.
Well, and let's look at the latest poll of polls. This is Real Clear Politics, which did an average of all the polls. Mm-hmm. Trump, 54%. Nikki Haley at 17. Ron DeSantis at 15. Vivek Ramaswamy at 7. We know the media likes a good story. We know the media wants to cover this for months, right? It's good business for everybody. Mm-hmm. But does it really matter whether Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley finishes second if they're 30 or 40 points behind?
It depends what happens after Iowa. Nikki Haley is making a play for New Hampshire. She's polling better there. Depending on the poll, she's within 20 points of Donald Trump. That's an open primary. Independents can play there. Maybe some Democrats if they want to. South Carolina, Michigan, big primary states that come after. Open primaries. The problem for Nikki Haley is even if she does a strong second in Iowa, she has to hope that Ron DeSantis then drops out. And then she totally has to reorganize the Republican coalition. Non-college educated voters love Donald Trump. Nikki Haley's got a lane with college educated Republicans, but that's only a small minority, maybe a plurality of Republican primary voters. Again, stepping back, the two biggest wins in Iowa history in modern memory, Bob Dole won by 12 in 1996. George W. Bush won by 10. Those were received by the press at the time as blowouts. And they ended up walking to the nomination. Bush had a scare in New Hampshire with John McCain. If Trump wins by 30, 25, that's the biggest Republican blowout in Iowa in modern memory. And yet, the press loves a horse race. We want this to be a contest. And that's why, you know, they're sort of over-investing in covering this, the drama of this primary.
Well, and part of the fun of reporting in Iowa, say, versus a place like California, is the whole feel is like you're in a living room with 12 people and it's cold and you're all hanging out. And it's like a different level of access than you get here.
Yeah.
But when you have Donald Trump, whose name ID is 100%, and you have Joe Biden, whose name ID is 100%. Does the media matter like it used to?
Again, that's a reason I was hesitant to go out just for the final few days before the caucus this cycle. Even right now, the wind chill in Iowa is like negative 20 degrees. Several candidates, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, have canceled events, and they're doing virtual town halls. So they're not even in the living rooms and the pizza ranches and the church basements where they usually campaign before a caucus. But that's also reflective of what politics and campaigns are now. They're on your screens increasingly. The issue set is nationalized. So yes, if you're a lower tier candidate, you're a reporter, you go out, you can stick a mic in their face, get a quote, get some cool interviews with voters. That's always the most important thing, talking to voters. But politics is just so nationalized now in the Trump era. And it's not just because of him, he capitalized on that. It just makes it less valuable to be in the room with candidates at campaign events. Again, still think it's worthwhile talking to voters and getting out there. But Iowa is just one state out of 50. There's a long way to go. Maybe there's a short way to go if Trump wins by a whole lot. But, you know, I'll probably go to New Hampshire or South Carolina, but I took a pass on this one.
Isn't it interesting, though, the state of where the Republican Party is at right now? Because even if Nikki Haley emerges as the number two, which right now it seems like she is, she's not really anti-Trump. Mm-hmm. Chris Christie dropping out this week was clearly anti-Trump. Mm-hmm. We cannot follow Donald Trump. And it's clear there is not room for that message in the Republican Party right now.
It's been remarkable watching a primary. And primaries are, there's not a lot of ton of policy differences in primaries, Dem and Republican, sometimes. But you're running against different personalities. You're trying to differentiate yourself as a brand. I've never seen a primary where no one wants to run against the front runner. You know, Nikki Haley's criticisms have been gentle. Chaos follows Trump wherever he goes. We need someone younger. He was the right president for the right time, but I would do something different. But then you watch the debate, like the CNN debate the other night, which, by the way, speaking of media changes, only had 2.5 million viewers. Mm. That's really low for a primary debate compared to past cycles. You know, she mostly was talking about stuff like the debt, just issues out of that sound like they're out of the Republican Party in 2012, just completely almost ignoring the fact that the party, to what you're saying, has changed so dramatically. The country club Republican set likes Nikki Haley, but that's not who runs the Republican Party anymore.
Yeah, and the debates in the past featured the candidates. If you've got a debate
that, will be the
that doesn't have the candidate, and that will be that to your point, yeah, about Trump's decision not to do the debates.
Brilliant. In hindsight, skip the debates. Don't let anyone punch at you. Don't get tripped up by any debate moderators. Let the other people look small, and they do, in the polls at least.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden is already sort of starting to run against Donald Trump. Donald Trump's starting to run against Joe Biden. What do you make of where Joe Biden is at right now?
Well, in the polls, not great. We've seen some polls, by the way. There's been a lot of Democratic bedwetting in the last few months about these head-to-head matchups in high-quality polls where Trump is beating Biden in a variety of swing states. Biden's come up a little bit lately. It's not where you want to be. The Washington Post had an interesting article this week reporting that Barack Obama had lunch with Joe Biden and was like, hey, man, you got to get your campaign staff out in a separate silo from the White House and run a separate ship from the White House. Because, and this is true in my conversations with the Biden White House as well, their whole theory of the case is keep calm and carry on. It's too early to talk about a head-to-head matchup in the election. Once there's a choice on the ballot in November, then people will come to realize we can't go back to Donald Trump, even if Biden is flawed. There are some problems with that. I mean, Biden, people really, really don't like Biden. Core Democratic constituencies, young people, black people traditionally, Hispanic folks, they're not coming home to Joe Biden right now. There are going to be possibly third-party candidates, Cornel West, RFK Jr., Jill Stein, on a variety of
Joe
swing
Manchin,
state ballots.
Maybe.
Exactly, Joe Manchin. And all of those people possibly could suppress the Democratic vote. And Biden only beat Trump in these swing states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, by a few hundred thousand votes. And if people decide to stay home because they're not enthralled with Biden, it's a tough lane, but this election was always going to be close. That's what the Biden White House says. But I do think that the only person Joe Biden could beat right now is Donald Trump, because he is more polarizing, more unpopular.
And you see, like, among black voters, his support has fallen from, like, in the 80s to the 60s. That's problematic.
Remarkable for a Democrat, yeah, in modern times.
And the big question will be, do Biden supporters stay home? All right, Peter is sticking around to talk about California politics, that big California Senate race.
Californians deserve a senator who's going to deliver for them every day.
That's Congressman Adam Schiff's first TV ad of the race. He and Katie Porter focusing on women in the Bay Area with their first ad buy, both exclusively advertising in the Bay Area. Back with us right now is Peter Hamby of Snapchat and Puck News. Let's talk more about California's Senate race. As we've mentioned, we're hosting the first TV debate of the race. It's on January 22nd at 6 o'clock. The top four polling candidates will be there. And we got a new poll out this week from the LA Times and Berkeley IGS. It shows Adam Schiff at 21%. Katie Porter, who we talked to earlier, at 17%. Steve Garvey, the Republican businessman, Dodger legend, at 13%. Congresswoman Barbara Lee at 9%. How do you see the state of the Senate race right now?
First of all, was Schiff doing that ad in front of at a winery? Those barrels of wine? I was looking at these poll results this morning, looking under the hood, just like you. It feels like Adam Schiff has put together something of a coalition so far. Obviously, he's the most famous candidate. He goes on MSNBC and CNN all the time. He's famous from all the Trump wars. He's raised a ton of money. But he's beating Katie Porter and Barbara Lee among women, for example. Across the board, his numbers among a variety of subgroups are just better than the rest. The other thing I noticed was that Katie Porter's number since last poll is just flat. If you look at the LA Times online, they do a graphic. It's kind of nice. I love a nice graphic.
Yeah.
Katie Porter, since last poll, just a straight line at 17%. Mm. No growth. And then Steve Garvey, he wasn't even in the race by when they did the last poll. He's also gone up. Again, that's probably because Republicans are looking for somebody to come home to. But, you know, that TV ad, Katie Porter, Barbara Lee, Steve Garvey, they've all got to go on TV. That's how you win campaigns. That's how you change minds in California. And we haven't seen a lot of that yet. So, and then there's also the debate that you're moderating coming up. Those are going to be big opportunities for, I think, Katie Porter to really start to shake this up because, you know, if Steve Garvey gets in that second place position for the runoff, you know, it's Schiff versus Garvey. Schiff's got, we think, a straight shot to the Senate after that, and Katie Porter is out. So she's got to hold Steve Garvey down while also pulling Schiff down, too.
So you think for that debate, she's got the most to potentially win or lose?
I think she does. I mean, I was surprised Barbara Lee, maybe not surprised because Barbara Lee doesn't have much of a statewide profile, but Barbara Lee also has to climb out of that hole. I mean, she's obviously got a base in the Bay Area, support among black folks in the state, but she's the progressive in the race. But, you know, Porter is also taking some of those votes from her. So she's also has to sort of figure out a way to get into at least double digits.
Meanwhile, the other big statewide political story of this week was Governor Gavin Newsom unveiling his budget. He says the state's deficit is $38 billion, not $68 billion, what the legislative analyst says. Just broadly speaking, though, of Gavin Newsom, who obviously gets so much national attention, a lot of your folks, the rest of the country probably ask you about.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see Gavin Newsom right now?
Nationally, I think his reputation with Democrats is very good. And I think I can speak better national than California like you can. You're the expert here, even though I live here now. You know, if you look at polls of potential Democratic candidates in 2024, 2028, you've got Biden, you've got Kamala. Gavin Newsom is usually number three, you know, above people like Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren who have run before. And it's because he's done a good job both as a Biden surrogate, punching at Republicans. He did that debate with DeSantis. But going into other states and making the case that California just does things better. The flip side of that is people think Gavin Newsom is, you know, a slick socialist from California who's spending too much money on every program, which is maybe what that budget reflects. You know, I remember being back in Washington when I lived there when he first came into office, and he was sitting on that wonderful rainy day fund that Jerry Brown proudly created. And he dipped into that during COVID when the state needed it economically. Maybe those coins are running out at some point. I don't know.
Well, he's proposing taking $18 billion from that fund to help deal with the deficit this year. Peter, we love having you here. Thank you so much for your perspective. It's great speaking with you.
It's great to be here and not in freezing cold Des Moines.
Exactly. It's the place to be. Our thanks to Peter Hamby. A reminder to listen to our other podcast we put out this week, a conversation with Congresswoman Katie Porter. Next week on The Issue Is, we expect to talk with Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who is running in the Senate race, Republican Eric Early running in the Senate race, and also General David Petraeus. It should be a busy week of conversations. And a reminder again that our Senate debate that we are hosting is January 22nd from 6 to 7:30 p.m. live on Fox 11 TV, KTVU in the Bay Area, on KFI Radio, streaming live, where you can watch all the candidates debate for the first time. This is Katie Porter, Adam Schiff, Barbara Lee, Steve Garvey. That should be a lot of fun. Send us a message. Let us know what you think about the show. Like us, subscribe, tell people about this show. We love hearing any feedback. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week for more of The Issue Is.